The title of the message this morning is taken from Psalm 25. I invite you to turn there with me. What man is he that feareth the Lord? And I would like to begin by just reading Psalm 25. There are 22 verses. Psalm 25, verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So what is this question asking? What man is he that feareth the Lord? We want to consider that this morning. I believe it's simply asking, what kind of man is he that fears the Lord? What are the characteristics? How can we define, how do we define a man who fears the Lord? Fear can be a very broad term. There are several kinds of fear. We have a fear like as being afraid of something. The other night, one of my sons came, was afraid because he had a terrible dream, and he needed some consolation. That's not what we're talking about this morning. There are several kinds of fear when we think about even the fear of God. The fear of God is lived out in various ways. It can be. Fear of God can be something that's superstitious to one who does not understand or is ignorant of God's ways, or just even God himself. The fear of God can be servile, where a person becomes very eager to obey and submit and try to live a good life because he fears punishment. Then we also have what we call a filial fear that springs out of a relationship of love and devotion and a desire to please God in all things. And I believe that's what God is looking for from us. A fear that comes out of a love and devotion for who God is. He's holy, he's pure, he's sinless. He is great. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is, it says, it's the beginning. It's the prerequisite to wisdom, okay? the reverent fear of God. Proverbs 14:2 shows us that the absence of a fear of God is one of the characteristics of a wicked and depraved person. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him, despiseth God. The love of God has, maybe you could say, a constraining power. There's a verse that says, love constraineth us. It compels us. It forces us to serve him. It's something that comes out of someone who loves God. And at the same time, I think you could say the fear of God has maybe a restraining power. It's something that keeps us back from offending him. These verses here in Psalm 25 mention a number of things that characterize a man who fears the Lord, and we're going to look at them this morning. Number one, a man who fears the Lord longs to be taught the right ways by God. We see this in verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. A man who loves the Lord and fears him, fears offending him. He doesn't want to hurt the relationship that is shared. He is a man who desires to be taught and know what is right so that he can walk in that way. And I think we all know that there are many places to turn for answers. But a man who fears the Lord doesn't want any other way but God's way. When one fears the Lord, he sees God for who he really is, and also sees himself for who he is. God is so high and lofty. I already mentioned that. He's so great, so high above us, so sinless, so pure, so holy. But who am I? How do we see ourselves? A needy person, in need of salvation. And when we have this great difference between a high and holy God and us as needy creatures in need of salvation, when that happens and we're humbled, we're in that humbled, helpless condition, it provides an excellent opportunity for God to teach us. And I think that goes hand in hand with one that fears God. What man is he that feareth God? It's him that wants to be taught the ways of God so he can walk therein, because he himself sees himself as one that can't find that way in his own strength. We fall short of being capable of making good choices outside of God. Often in life, we are met with many options when we need to make decisions. Sometimes it's so hard to know what is the right thing to do. But I believe those that fear the Lord, God gives wisdom. We already read that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God gives wisdom and discernment to find the right way when the ways are many. There is a right way, and God wants to help us choose right. I believe God enlightens by his Spirit those who really want to do what is right. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We all live in the flesh, and we struggle with our flesh. And I think we would all confess that sometimes our fleshly desires cry pretty loud. But what happens in the end? Do I value my relationship with God enough that I say no to the flesh and cry out to God for direction and help? My everyday choices have a direct effect on my relationship with God and how I view him. Recently, I had a conversation with a customer who mentioned that His wife struggles with bitterness in her life, and she just holds on to grievances, and because of that, doesn't go to church with him very often. And then he went on to talk about his own personal walk with the Lord and how he tries to help his wife see the need to forgive and let go of those grievances. But eventually, he kind of turned and started talking about his past and how he related to people who mistreated him and hurt him in the past. And it was so much like that of his wife. And I went away from that discussion and was wondering if I am that blind at times to my own needs. And I know I probably am, but he seemed so blind. It's so easy for us to see needs in others and not in ourselves so much. But what kind of man is a man who fears the Lord? It's a man who takes the word of God and he wants to know. He doesn't want to be in that blind state. He wants to know God's perfect will so he can walk therein. The man who fears God will spend a lot of time on the anvil being shaped. What kind of commitment do I have in putting truth to practice in my life? Am I holding on to any bitterness, or has the fear of God restrained me? And I have chosen God's way of forgiveness because I value my relationship with him. That's just one example. There are many other ways that we can put this to practice in life. Number two, a man who fears the Lord will have a blessed and restful heart. The first part of verse 13 says, his soul shall dwell at ease. Now this word ease, summed up, basically means good, or you could say prosperous. It is a picture of one who has found true blessing and contentment in the provisions of God. The man who fears the Lord has an affluence of good things, many spiritual blessings in Christ. He has peace and safety amidst all the troubles and afflictions. He has that godliness with contentment, which the Bible said is great gain. Even though he may seem to have nothing, he possesses all things, many things which he has been given to richly enjoy, those things that pertain to life and godliness, the scriptures tell us. He's blessed and content. Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Did you notice that? A man who fears the Lord sees and is able to experience the goodness of God like no other man does. The fear of God brings us into a relationship with God like no other relationship can be. And we'll look at that a little later. We can dwell in the bliss of God's goodness and have a soul that is at ease, soul that is content. A man who fears the Lord recognizes that all things come from God. He recognizes that God is his sovereign. He's the sustainer of life, and he alone can give life. He who fears God has nothing else to fear. He's at rest. His life, his soul is at ease. He is content. He feels safe and secure. He has a heart filled with peace because he believes in God. There are many things that can destroy our inner peace and rest and keep us from experiencing or recognizing the goodness that God wants us to enjoy. This goodness is not for the evil. It says it's for those who fear the Lord. So few people in society are experiencing this rest and this peace. It's replaced with anxiety, doubt, and trouble. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. I like that thought. He shall not be visited with evil. goes on to say. I see three things in this verse: life, satisfaction, and freedom from evil. What more could we want? Life, satisfaction, and freedom from evil. To me, that speaks of a soul that is at ease, a soul that is content. It says that he that hath it shall abide satisfied. It's not just that temporary satisfaction that comes from the pleasures of this world, but it's an abiding satisfaction. Is that where we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves in the fear of the Lord, having a soul that is at ease, content, at peace, at rest? I believe this is where God wants us to be as his people. Number three, a man who fears the Lord brings a blessing upon his family. The second half of verse 13 says, his seed shall inherit the earth. And I'm not sure what all that means, but I do know that a father and mother who fear the Lord bring a tremendous blessing, valuable teaching to their children that will affect them for life. It's inevitable. A man who fears the Lord will influence his family in the same as well, I believe. God remembered Isaac because of his godly father Abraham. And God remembered Jacob because of his godly father Isaac. We know these men were God-fearing men, and it's obvious in their offspring as well. And we know that every child grows up with a choice, what he will do with what he is taught. Some turn their blessings into a curse, while others build their lives on these valuable teachings. When a man possesses God, truly possesses God, he transmits a legacy of blessing. Children become heirs when parents become God-fearing, heirs of something valuable. It would be very fascinating to try to calculate what one might inherit because of another man's fear of God, the influence. Just try to tally that up, measure the impact, the influence of that. We can't do that, but we know that the blessings and the influence is vast. And as a father, that thought makes me tremble. What am I passing on? We influence tremendously by the lives we live. Does what I am passing on give evidence of the fear of God in my life? Do my children see me as a God-conscious father or mother? Am I floating through life trying to do right because it's the thing to do? Or is it coming out of a life of love and devotion and a fear of God? Psalm 112 also characterizes a man who fears the Lord. I'd like to read this psalm and pull out a few more things. Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away the desire of the wicked. Melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish. Verse 2 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Again, I remind us that a man who fears the Lord wants to do everything he can to please his Father in heaven. And this includes how he relates to his family, his children. And from there, it's just a tremendous testimony that goes forth to the world. Verse 4 says, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Why? Because he has experienced it himself from the Lord, and he knows he is accountable for how he relates to others. Verses 6 and 8 speak of stability and consistency. Surely he shall not be moved. His heart is established. A man who fears God can be trusted and counted on. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I don't believe this is referring to material wealth, but saying that those who fear the Lord will be blessed in so many different ways, spiritual ways. It will be a happy home. Contentment and happiness will be there. Verse 10. No, I'm sorry. It's not verse 10. Verse 9. He hath given to the poor. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. Speaks of unselfish living. A man who fears the Lord has a proper view of material wealth. He gives unselfishly. 1 Timothy 4:8 somewhat sums this up. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. It affects all of life. And I want us to remember this morning that a life of godliness is gain. It produces gain. It's profitable. It's not vain in any way. The influence and the impacts are tremendous. What legacy are our children receiving? God help us to be God-fearing parents who take up the challenge to give our children a godly heritage that will shape their future and make it easy for them to place their allegiance in the God of heaven. Number 4, a man who fears the Lord will have an intimate relationship with God. Going back to Psalm 25 and verse 14, says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You may wonder how I get this point out of this verse, but I found it interesting studying into that word secret. This word secret means counsel, and it's used different places in Scripture, and it suggests the idea of intimacy. Job used this term to refer to his close relationship with God and with individuals he thought of as close friends. In Psalm 55, 14, David used this term to describe one of his close friendships. God establishes a close relationship with those who revere him and walk with him. When he looks down upon us and he sees a man who is looking up to him and in fear loving him and serving him, he draws nigh unto them. What does that verse say in James? Just came to my mind now, but I can't quite quote it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I believe that's so true. Those who fear him, I believe, are permitted to come into his presence, partake of his counsels, and are allowed free access to him. In other words, have fellowship with him. How do we gauge whether we are living in the presence of God? I think one gauge is, do we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts? There's a verse that says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So if we don't have that joy, are we really in the presence of God? Are we experiencing a close walk with God? There are certain blessings and privileges bestowed upon those who are close with the Lord. And I think we all know that when we tend to become lax, that distance between us and God robs us of our peace and our rest. And the opposite is true as well. But back to this word secret. We give our secret, the knowledge of our inner self, to those who we are close with. Think about brotherhood relationships. We feel comfortable sharing with those that we are close with, right? Those who we trust and we see eye to eye with. I think it's somewhat true in the spiritual realm as well. God gives his secret, his love, and favor to those that fear him. He shares his goodness with them. Proverbs 3:32 says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." There you see that connection again. To those who fear God, it says he will also show them his covenant. I believe he will give us an understanding of his will. He will impart knowledge. I believe he gives strength. A close relationship with God is something that strengthens that inner man. Ephesians 3:16 mentions that. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I believe he gives peace. And it's a peace that the world knows nothing about. But it's given to those who fear him. Jesus himself said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." It's not a peace like the world offers. It's true peace. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." To those who fear the Lord, God also gives the secret of safety. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." How is my relationship with the Lord? Do I know about that goodness, the secret of the Lord, and the blessing there is in daily communion and fellowship with him? Maybe I have been following afar off. If so, God will withdraw that blessing from us. But at the same time, he will reward those who walk close with him. Number five, a man who fears the Lord will constantly have his eyes set on God. We see this in verse 15. "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." I believe this verse says a lot about the mind of a man who fears the Lord. It is easy for us to set our eyes on things of the earth, but there is no help there. It's easy for us to harbor bitter envying and strife, but this takes our eyes off of God. We know what that does to our relationship with God. It can be easy for us to enjoy the pleasures this world offers, but many of these things take our eyes off of God. When two people who have a close relationship allow something to come between them, they find it very hard to look each other in the eyes. It's much the same in the spiritual life. When I allow something to come between myself and God, we tend to withdraw. It affects my relationship in a way that will keep me from wanting to look to God because I hurt him. We must be a people who fear the Lord and set our eyes on him forever. It has a restraining effect. It will keep us from a lot of evil. You read through the Psalms and you see a lot of David's prayers to God. He was a man after God's own heart. He sought him for direction in perplexity, in doubt, in difficulty. You see him crying out to God over and over, in danger. When death seems so near, we see him crying out to God. He cried out to God about the future, and it seems to us from the Psalms that he cried out to God in all of life. He was one that seemingly had his eyes on God. The end of the verse says, "He shall pluck my feet out of the net." Notice the conflicting condition in that verse. "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Just goes to show us how sometimes we are caught in a net. And yet, God is available. He is our only hope. David believed that God was his only hope in trouble, and he trusted him. I thought of Lot and how his story could have been much different. One day, Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose which portion of land he was going to take. And with an earthly vision, he looked out on the plains, the well-watered plains, it says, and he chose that. And we see in the story how he eventually pitched his tent towards Sodom. Did that earthly vision of choosing the well-watered plains have anything to do with his outcome? Well, I believe God could have protected him there in the plains. But let's not forget to set our eyes on God in every decision we make in life. A man who fears the Lord will seek God for direction because he wants what is right. He wants to follow God. He wants to be in the right way. A man who fears the Lord will be God conscious as he goes throughout each day. Verse 5 of Psalm 25 says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." I like that thought of waiting on God all the day. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Having that God consciousness helps us notice all the ways God works on our behalf. We'll notice his greatness in creation. We'll see many opportunities to bless others that otherwise would go unnoticed. Psalm 123:1, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." That needs to be what we do, lifting up our eyes. Psalm 34:5, "They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed." I believe something good will happen to those whose vision, whose eyes are turned toward the Lord. And I just like how this verse says it. "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Ever! God help us. Lastly, number 6. A man who fears God views all sin as a horrible thing. I see this thought in a number of verses in Psalm 25. Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth." It's David pleading to God, "Don't remember those sins. Forgive them." Verse 11, Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Verse 16, "I am desolate and afflicted." Verse 17, "My troubles are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses." Verse 18, "Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." Verse 19, "Deal with my soul's enemies." Just see David's longing to be done with sin, asking God to deal with it and help him to live in holiness and purity. Joseph also was a man who viewed sin as a horrible thing. When he was enticed by his mistress to commit wickedness with her, he answered, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he fled. He fled. David in Psalm 101 verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eye, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Do I have that kind of commitment? Do I hate sin? In Psalm 119, 113, the psalmist took it even farther and said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. One who fears the Lord will not only guard his actions, but also his mind. He understands that God is great and that he can see even those small thoughts. It's good for us to think about that. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what the fear of the Lord does, hates evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. They're not synonymous. You cannot have the fear of the Lord and live an evil life. So what is the answer? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord will cause us to dread God's displeasure, desire his favor, revere his holiness, submit cheerfully to his will, be grateful for his benefits, sincerely worship him, and conscientiously obey his commandments. So look out in the world today. The fear of the Lord is lacking so seriously. So we see the men just throwing out the word of God and doing what seems right in their own eyes. Where is the fear of the Lord? Is this something that we as a people of God can continue to grow in? Will it guide us in our decisions? As the people of God, let's rise up and continue to turn to him and give him his rightful place in our hearts and lives. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's kneel for prayer.